It is the morning show. I'm Kay Darcher Kent. We dive into what nutritious, high-quality school lunch means for kids as some states move to provide all students with breakfast and lunch, regardless of family income. Call in with your questions about what's served in school cafeterias, your experiences with school lunches, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. And thanks to Jim and Baldwin, who suggested we explore the importance of food in schools and specifically the work of one organization.
A nonprofit called EatReal.org, and they provide nutritionists and dietitians for free for school systems.
Nora Latorre is CEO of Eat Real. That's a California-based national nonprofit helping school districts serve nutritious food to students. Nora, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me. And I love that Jim put us on your radar and is sharing about the work that's happening throughout the country.
Yes, we do too. So bring us up to speed now that Congress ended the Free Lunch for All program last year that provided tens of millions of students with meals. How are kids from low-income backgrounds getting meals now?
Yes, so that was a pandemic-era benefit that and investment in children that really worked to create more nutrition security and is a really essential safety net for American children. Universal free meals and better school meals works to create, has been proven to create healthier kids that are better able to focus, learn, grow, and thrive. And now children and families are really struggling. And it's really now that that national investment has gone away, it's going state by state. And so the disparity is huge. It very much depends on states and is, I know Wisconsin thinking about making a bold investment into children's health with universal free meals. Some states, children still have access to universal free meals and that investment is still happening in California, Colorado, and Maine, and Washington and your neighbor, Minnesota, are also considering expanding universal free meals and school meals for every child. So in those states, every child has access to the meal they need, which we think is like good books in a classroom or working breaks on a school bus, essential for their learning. And they're able to get the food that they need without stigma. In other states, it's very much based on income and which some children qualify for free meals still. Some are getting reduced meals and some kids don't qualify, but they probably should based on the income requirements across the nation. So right now there's a ton of disparity and inequity in who is getting free meals and access to nutritious meals at school across our nation.
So it's a very piecemeal approach, what I'm hearing from you. I just want you to reflect for a moment on the Department of Education data from its School Pulse survey showing that students partaking in school lunch programs is down from last school year by like 23% nationally. And the largest drop is here in the Midwest, 31%. What do these drops tell you?
That people were relying on those meals when they were available and accessible and free, people took advantage of those meals and it helped nourish them. I would add that those meals also can help create a stronger economy because schools are the largest restaurant chain in America. They serve 7 billion meals to 30 million kids. If you think about it, there's a school in every town and they are serving the most meals to the most important customers, our students, our children, and those restaurants can source food locally. And there's a movement called Farm to School where they're actually sourcing from local farmers. So when we look at those stats and that meal participation is down, we see that not only are children missing out on meals that they depended on and leveraged last year, but those restaurants, those schools, their numbers are down. So they're sourcing fewer meals and fewer ingredients, which also hurts the economy. So school meals is not only an investment in children and health, but into the local economy. And so we know that for every dollar invested in school meals, that there's over $2 of benefits in terms of health benefits for children and economic benefits, not even including the climate benefit. So it hurts it hurts my heart to hear that, because kids are missing out and the local economies are missing out on helping the best restaurant in town become the best restaurant in town.
We're going to get to climate in just a moment. I'm going to reintroduce you here as we talk about school lunches, nutritious school meals, and the movement we're seeing in some other states for universal free meals at school. We have the Eat Real CEO, Nora LaTorre. You can join in with your questions about school lunches and your experiences. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Nora, you estimate, as you said, that American schools serve 7 billion meals to 30 million students every year. What is the connection? What's the link between these meals and learning for young people?
Meals are a lifeline for families and for children. School meals are a safety net in America. Many children depend on 30 to 100% of their calories for school meals. There's not only school lunch that's served, which I think a lot of people remember, there's school breakfast and sometimes school dinner. And so school meals are a place where kids can get the nourishment that they need. And it's been proven to be one of the healthiest places that kids could have access to delicious food. And so kids really need it in order at a critical moment where their bodies are growing, their brains are growing, and good food affects how they feel immediately, whether or not they have a tummy ache and need to go to the nurse's office, whether or not they can perform in sports after school, whether or not their frontal cortex is growing in a healthy way so that they have, you know, executive function and can focus and can learn and develop. And so school meals are key to supporting healthy, happy, growing kids. I think, and they're key to a brighter future in America.
What is your response to lawmakers who say that the free lunch for all and the free breakfast for all, giving meals to kids who don't need such a benefit is wasteful spending in that regard?
I think our children are the most important thing in the world, and there are and we need to be making more investments. I would say that every child needs healthy meals at school and every child, because we have a perfect storm happening right now in America, and we have a massive children's health crisis that people aren't talking about. So school meals are an incredible way to get healthy, delicious, sustainable, culturally relevant meals to every child, and to create more equality where there's no stigma happening, where some kids get a meal and some kids don't get a meal, or some kids get this quality of a meal and some kids get that quality meal, and some kids get school lunch debt and then are shamed because of that. Like, it is an amazing way to just make a consistent investment in nutrition for our children.
How much of an issue is lunch shaming of students who have unpaid meal debt and can't afford their lunch?
We heard stories before the pandemic that were crushing about that, and communities coming together to fundraise to cover school lunch debt. And we're starting to hear those stories again. So it is a big problem in the lunchroom. We think the lunchroom is a classroom, and when there's school lunch shaming happen, it creates a really unhealthy classroom environment.
Nora LaTorre,
with a lot of judgment.
Nora LaTorre leads Eat Real. It's an organization advocating for nutritious food access, improving the food served in schools. Call in with questions and comments about school meals and what you'd support serving to kids. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine the ripple effects of billions of school lunches served up in schools each year, what it means to serve nutritious, high-quality offerings, and how kids get access to these meals. Call in with your questions, your thoughts about school lunches, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Nora LaTorre leads the national advocacy organization Eat Real and stays with us. Nora, we heard from Mike in Milwaukee, called in to ask how people who have never experienced food insecurity in their lives can better understand this issue. How do we develop empathy for children and families who lack regular access to good food?
I really appreciate that question. I think there's two things. There's food insecurity in America, and there's nutrition insecurity, and what we need in America is nutrition insecurity. And while some Americans haven't experienced food insecurity, many Americans are experiencing nutrition insecurity, where people don't have access to the delicious and nutritious, nutrient-dense meals that they need. Actually, in America today, 93% of Americans are cardiometabolically sick. That means about only 7% of people are walking around feeling really good. A lot of Americans don't feel great. And the number one cause of shortened health span and lifespan in America is processed food-related disease. And so people across America don't have access to the nutritious food that they need to live long, healthy, happy lives. So most Americans are experiencing actual nutrition issues. And so that's one thing to think about.
It's more widespread than we think, is what you're saying.
Yes.
There.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And we have a lot of kids' health issues coming up now because of processed food-related disease. It's much more widespread than people realize. There's a lot of unseen nutrition insecurity. And so during the pandemic, actually type 2 diabetes in children, which is a preventable processed food-related disease, went up 76% in children. So our children are also getting sicker. And so we actually have a children's health crisis, and it's impacting tons of kids, not just kids that don't have food access, but especially those kids. And so, so high level, I think that this is a much bigger issue than people are talking about, and it's impacting people that people know. Like, this is impacting your neighbors. And then I think it's really important to think about, how do you have empathy, and how do you understand, and maybe think about when you just didn't have. You get hungry, where you just, didn't have a meal because of you're busy or something, and how that made you feel. Like, think of a personal moment where you didn't have access to something you need, and how that made you feel, how that physically made you feel, how that mentally made you feel, how it made you worry, how it made you stressed, how it took up your time, your mental capacity, how it broke your heart, maybe you couldn't get your kids a snack that they needed, and then what that does to you as a parent. Like, try to make it personal and put yourself in some shoes. Think through what that would feel like, and you'll start to realize quickly, that food is a human right, and that everyone deserves to have access to food that they need to live.
Let's look more closely at what's on the lunch menu. Our Governor Tony Evers, in his state budget proposal plan, it would give schools an extra 10 cents per meal to include locally sourced foods. And I just want to get your take on that. How practical is it to source local food for schools, and what are the cost differences?
It is so powerful to source local food from school. There's a massive farm to school movement that's happening in the United States that's being led by the USDA, and that states are making investment in, and it works. It is possible. I eat school lunch and crave school lunch. Actually, it can be that good. I eat it every week, and I look forward to it. I look forward to having school meals that feature that seasonal vegetable that the school was able to source, or that a school, maybe a farmer locally called up and said, I have a surplus, which is partly how this whole program was started in 1946. I have a surplus of this amazing vegetable. Would you buy it from me? And the school, nutrition director says, yes, I'll buy it. I'm going to expose the children for the first time to this vegetable of local peas or whatever it is. And it's a really powerful way to create a stronger local economy, and then to also educate and inspire students around vegetables. Today, only 7% of children get the daily recommended amount of vegetables. So when I talk about nutrition insecurity, kids aren't getting those nutrients that they need from vegetables. And so that investment that the Wisconsin government is considering to sourced locally is a huge investment in local economies and re-regionalizing and strengthening our economy and our food supply chains, as well as educating children and helping them learn to love real food and nourish themselves and local food.
I want to pick up on 1946. You mentioned that year when Congress established the National School Lunch Program to address malnutrition in schools. If you could change something today about this program, what would it be?
I think making sure that people know that it works, that we all feel proud of it, that we see it like it's books, that we see it like it's a good teacher, that we really invest in real change in the cafeteria, and that we as a society lift it up and champion it. And like Jim, who called into your show, really advocate for using it as a platform to invest in our children, invest in our local economy. So I think it's making sure that it's seen as one of the most important investments of our country by society.
We're talking about school lunches and nutritious school meals with Eat Real CEO Nora LaTorre. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Jenny in Elkhorn wants to know, Nora, about the high levels of sugar in cereal bars that a lot of kids are eating for breakfast. What can you tell us?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question, Jenny. It's really, really important. So today in America, children eat about a bathtub of added sugar a year. We've noticed that in American breakfast, orange juice that doesn't have fiber, so that's free sugar, breakfast muffin and some flavored yogurt, kids can get over four times the amount of added sugar they're supposed to have the entire day. So breakfast and spiking kids with sugar can hurt their focus. It affects their metabolism, it affects their growth. It's really important that we as a society look at added sugar and take it really seriously. You know, we our program, we look at the nutrition and sustainability of school food. We help school leaders look at all the recipes, all their ingredients, the amounts of sugar, how local things are, how nutrient-dense things are, et cetera. And then we help them make a roadmap to make changes to continue to raise the bar for that food. And sugar is one thing that we do look at. We remove over 15 pounds of sugar per student per year out of school meals. It's hidden in everything. There are over 260 names for sugar. It is throughout our food system. Over 67% of kids' calories are ultra processed. Like it is, and sugar is hidden in so much of it. So it's a serious problem, and we need to raise the bar across the nation. Right now, there are new nutritional national standards that are being proposed. And in California, they just announced Senator Skinner sponsored a bill to set standards in California that would look at sugar and reduce sugar so that kids weren't getting over the daily recommended amount of sugar. So I think it's a really powerful moment, because for the first time, the nation and states are looking at higher standards, and standards that for the first time include sugar. Like there have been higher standards, and those have been proven to work, but they've never included sugar. And so we need people to raise their voice for sugar standards and right now at the national level and the state level.
But Nora, how do you raise the bar on, less sugar, less salty, and less nutritionally deficient meals when you've got districts dealing with, staffing crunches, supply chain issues for their cafeteria, when their budgets are really being squeezed, and the impact of inflation? These are all competing forces to be able to give kids the best meals possible. How do you grapple with that?
Yeah, it's hard. And nutrition directors, we think they're superheroes. Their jobs are hard. It's complicated. They're navigating so much, and they're so important. They're feeding our children. So we think, support your local nutrition director, champion them. And then we need to advocate for more investment in school meals and higher standards at the national and state level. But giving the schools, those leaders, then the resources they need and the investment that they need to make those changes and those reimbursements and whatnot. And there, I will say that there are some ways that districts can make swaps that aren't super time or labor intensive, that aren't super expensive either, that they can upgrade. And that's what our eReal program does, is really help them, those nutrition directors, and district by district, make those changes and create a plan that works for the constraints that they're facing.
Nora, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me and for having this important conversation. And thank you, Wisconsin, for continuing to invest in school meals for every child.
Nora LaTorre is CEO of Eat Real. That's a California-based national nonprofit helping school districts serve nutritious food to students. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.